The One Mission story began in 1901 when two telegraph operators, Charles Kalman and Ernest Kilbourne, moved from Chicago to Japan to work alongside Japanese evangelist Juji Nakata. Together, their vision was to share the good news of Jesus Christ with every person in every community of that island nation, forming what is now known as One Mission Society. Today, more than 110 years later, the One Mission continues in more than 70 countries and 45 languages, using the tools of evangelism, leadership training, establishing churches and partnerships to take the gospel of Christ to the nations. Though the names have changed, our One Mission remains the same, with one Lord, one life, and one calling. These are One Mission Society's One Mission Stories, with your host, Jason Campbell.
Once again, it's time to travel to the ends of the earth, and no travel visa or passport is required. This is One Mission Stories, and I'm your host, Jason Campbell. Each week, I have the privilege of introducing to you people who have responded to God's call to go and tell the world about His love, as shown through His Son, Jesus Christ. Since 1901, One Mission Society, also known by the initials OMS, has been helping to complete the One Mission, which is the Great Commission, as given by Jesus Christ in Matthew 28. Today's special guest has been with OMS for almost 75 of those years, which, when you compare that to my short 15 years of service with OMS, it seems like I'm just beginning my missionary career. He has seen the world of OMS grow from a few Asian nations to more than 70 countries around the globe. He was even part of OMS when the world headquarters moved from Los Angeles to our present location, right in your backyard here in Greenwood, Indiana. But before I officially introduce to you today's special guest who has decades of stories to share, let's see if you can identify the country where he and his family served with One Mission Society. I'm going to give you five clues which can help you decode today's mystery location. Then, I'll reveal the answer to you when I introduce today's guest. Here are your five clues. Clue number one. In this country, the national fruit is the mango, and the national bird is the peacock. Clue number two. You'll find the world's largest movie industry here. Clue number three. This country is the birthplace of the popular game of strategy, chess. Clue number four. Our mystery location is the world's second largest country contained within one time zone. Now, just in case you're wondering, Russia would be the world's largest country that fits into one time zone if you measure by size. Otherwise, China would be largest if you measured by population, but however you measure, our location is still second place. And the fifth and final clue, this nation is the world's largest producer of tea, which also happens to be this country's most popular beverage. So, what world destination do you think we're going to talk about today? Do you have any idea where today's special guest served with OMS? Today on One Mission Stories, our special guest is One Mission Society veteran missionary and president emeritus, Dr. Wesley Duell, who served with his family in India for 25 years. Dr. Wesley Duell is in his late 90s, and he still comes to the OMS office weekly. We're honored to have him on today's broadcast. Dr. Duell, welcome to One Mission Stories.
Thank you.
We're very excited to have you here. For those who don't know Dr. Duell, looking at his biography just a little bit, he served in India for nearly 25 years. He is a well-known author, both through his poetry as well as his books, which have been printed in more than 58 languages. And more than 2 million books are in circulation all around the world in 58 or more languages. And Dr. Duell, I could read this huge list of accomplishments, but what I'd like to hear are the stories of how God has brought you through missions. So let's go back to the beginning. And how did God call you to missions?
When I was a little boy, 5 years of age, I was playing in the yard one day, and Jesus just spoke to me, and I startled and stopped. And I ran in the house to my mother. I said, "Mommy, Mommy, Jesus just told me that when I get big, he wants me to go to India to tell people about him." I said, "Mommy, I want you to go along." Well, she did by prayer. But that call at that early age became more clear as time went on. And I've always known that India was my call. And I still love to pray for India.
So as a young boy, God's speaking to you, saying you're going to go to India someday, and you asked your mom to come with you. Unfortunately, today, when I talk to a lot of missionaries, I hear that their parents aren't always supportive of them going overseas. How did your parents take it when you told them that you felt called to India?
Well, my father was a pastor, and he fully understood. Prayer was part of the essence of our home, and my mother was a great prayer warrior. And she had no doubts. She accepted God's calling in my life. And so I had no opposition from my home at whatever.
That's great. And where was your home? Where did you grow up, Dr. Duell?
Well, my father, as a pastor, would be moved after 2 or 3 or 4 years, but it was mostly towns in Illinois.
Okay. From Illinois, you grew up there as a PK, or preacher's kid. And God was calling you to be a missionary. So your parents helped you through prayer. I'm sure they introduced you to a lot of missionaries over time. Did you know anything about OMS growing up?
I went to a camp meeting, my parents took me, where the missionary day, they had missionaries from different societies. And I was impressed by the ones from OMS International.
Okay.
So that stayed before me, and I was impressed by their priorities, so that I always had them on the top of my list.
So, Dr. Duell, what were the priorities that impressed you about One Mission Society, which was first known as the Oriental Missionary Society, and then later OMS International?
They emphasized soul winning. They emphasized prayer, and without prayer, mission work is impossible. We need to be surrounded by the prayer of God, and we need praying missionaries and praying people behind them.
Absolutely, even today.
Yes.
And that's one reason we have One Mission Stories, is to share the stories so people will be able to pray.
Yes.
So you heard about OMS, and God led you to college. What did you study in college?
Well, I had a regular college course, and later on furlough, one time I went to the University of Cincinnati, and I studied there, got my master's, got my doctorate.
So you have had quite a bit of schooling then. That's one reason you have the doctor in front of your name. So when you went to college, there was a life verse, I'm told, that was very important to you, which kind of brought you in the direction of missions.
Yes, even before my college years, God spoke to me, I don't remember the exact year, perhaps in my high school years. Isaiah 54, verses 2 and the first part of verse 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. That scripture was born upon my heart and became very precious to me. Later on, I found that that was the life verse of William Carey, the pioneer missionary in India.
Wow.
And I also found that that was the life verse of Charles Kalman, the founder.
One of the founders of OMS.
Yes.
That's right. Wow.
And on the night of our first date, I discovered that my girlfriend had the same missionary verse as I did. God had put on her heart as her life verse.
And she didn't stay your girlfriend for long. What happened next?
Well, about a month after I graduated from college, we were married.
And God called both of you to go
Yes.
and serve in India. How exciting. But at that time, my understanding, hearing your story before, OMS was not a part of India. In fact,
No.
didn't you write a letter to somebody at one time?
When I would see missionaries from OMS speaking at a camp meeting or a convention or a church, I would go to them and say, will OMS ever open up work in India? They had work in Japan and Korea. And to my amazement, they would laugh at me cordially. And I said, well, it's too much to do. We'll never have time to go to India. But I just kept praying. I was convinced of the methodology of OMS, and so I prayed that that society would go to India.
So when did you find out that OMS was considering going into India?
During my years in college, one day I was in my room for a few minutes and I felt impressed to go downstairs, and I met a man, older, elderly professor in the college where I was attending, and he came to my room. And I had never had a college professor in my room before.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual for them to come to your room.
Yes. And he sat down and didn't seem to know quite why he was there. And he suddenly said, did you know that OMS might go to India? I said, OMS? He said, yes. Well, he said, don't hold me to it. But you see, my brother-in-law is an official in that society. And I understand there's a possibility. Well, he said, I better be going. And it looked like that was the only thing he told me. Well, I was thrilled. I'd been praying for 6 or 8 years daily for India. And here is the answer I felt all along. It should be, if not OMS, a society like it with the same goals and emphases. I thought, that's why he came to my room. I've never had a college professor come to my room before. So that was part of God's seal that encouraged me.
So that was a little bit more fire underneath you to keep moving in the direction of India. Well, Dr. Duell, we're going to talk with you a little bit more. For those of you that are just joining us, you're listening to One Mission Stories. I'm Jason Campbell. Today, our special guest is Dr. Wesley Duell. And Dr. Duell, how old are you right now?
I'm now 97.
97 years old.
Yes.
And still working for the Lord. And we'll hear more about that when One Mission Stories continues.
You're listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. You can help us complete the One Mission through your prayers. For more information, go to onemissionsociety.org/radio. We'll be right back.
It was Thursday. My investigation was going nowhere. I had been asked by One Mission Society to find someone, but not just anyone. This someone had to have a servant's heart.
Excuse me.
Suddenly, I was stopped by the voice of an angel.
Thanks, I think. Are you okay?
She seemed to know I needed help.
Can I call someone for you?
Did she know who I was looking for?
I might. What do they look like?
Aha! Trying to get information out of me. She is clearly a spy.
A spy? Who would I be spying for? And who do you keep talking to?
All of her questions were just confirming my suspicions.
Do you want some water?
I wasn't about to fall for that. Actually, I am kind of thirsty. Thanks, Angel.
You're welcome.
I guess she really was just trying to help. But that still left me with a mystery to solve. Would I ever find someone with a servant's heart?
Having a servant's heart shouldn't be a mystery. To discover how you can help complete the One Mission, visit onemissionsociety.org. Welcome back to One Mission Stories. I'm Jason Campbell. Today we have a very special guest with us, a missionary who has been with One Mission Society for quite a few years. His name is Dr. Wesley Duell, and he's 97 years old this year. Now, Dr. Duell, before the break, you were telling us how you had a special visitor to your college dorm room. And for those that are just joining us, I'll recap here. It was a teacher who told you that OMS is considering going to India. And you were very, very excited. But it wasn't a definite at that time. So what happened next? How did you get involved with One Mission Society?
This professor that came to my room, his brother-in-law was the treasurer of OMS, though I did not know that at the time.
Okay.
So I prayed for 2 days to make sure I was led by the Lord. I wrote a letter to Los Angeles, California, which was then the head of the location of the society.
So not Greenwood, Indiana, out in L.A. at that time.
That was before they came to Greenwood.
Okay.
So I wrote a letter telling of my call to India and my burden for OMS-type work in India, and so on. And I said, if this is true, I'd like to know about it. I got a letter back. They said they had not had a letter like that for a long time. Mm. They were welcome to my letter. They said they had one missionary in that society who had a burden for India. That was Dr. Eugene Ernie. Mm-hmm. They said he would be in Cincinnati that very week, and they would ask him to see me and discuss it with me. So I was watching when the car came out in front and parked in front of the Bible College, and I carried their little boy, Eddie, in my arm, and their little boy, Bobby, walked along beside me. Later, both became officials in OMS.
Yes.
I told my story to Dr. Ernie of the call that God had given me and my being convinced that we needed an OMS-type work in India. Mm-hmm. And I had been praying for that every day for several years. So Dr. Ernie said, if this is of God, as far as I know, I'm the only one in OMS who has this burden. And in OMS, the trustees have to be unanimous to enter a new field. And so far, I'm the only one as far as I know. But you pray and I'll pray. If this is of God, and he said, put his hand down, I'll guarantee that OMS will not go to India. But if this is of God, we will go. So in just about a week was graduation from college. And then shortly after graduation, a couple of weeks, my wife and I were married. That summer, my parents and I went to a camp meeting in Kansas. And when we came back, our mail was on our back porch. There was a letter there from Korea. And I opened that immediately. It was from Dr. Eugene Ernie, the one I had spoken to.
Right.
And he wrote, OMS votes unanimously to enter India. If still interested, pray and write at once.
You weren't interested anymore, were you?
Interested. My, I had been praying daily for some years. And so I wrote a letter to OMS and gave them my testimony step by step how I had been praying and God's call. And they said they had not received quite a letter like that for a long time. But God worked it all out. And Dr. Ernie became our leader when we went to India.
Okay, now when did you go to India? Do you remember the year?
1940.
Okay.
We went to India, and God gave us 25 years there until I was asked to come to society headquarters to help with activities. And after just a few years, I became a president of OMS and enjoyed my years visiting all the parts of the society. But my India burden has remained all these years.
So what kind of work did you do when you were in India?
Well, we founded a seminary in the city of Allahabad. It's a major city of importance in North India. And we, of course, trained the students in evangelism in the Bible study. And we took them out in evangelism. While I was a boy in Humboldt, Nebraska, in high school, I would go to the empty church and pray on my own. And I was in the church one Sunday afternoon, kneeling between benches in the church, and I suddenly saw, it was as if I were in India, I saw lines of Indian people marching, walking, not marching militarily, but coming along and pointing their hands at me. And they said, if you'd been more faithful, I would have had a chance to be saved. And I wept and wept as a boy, that high school boy, that Sunday afternoon. If I'd been more faithful, they would have had a chance to be saved. Well, that time came in a sense when I was in India. It was December 1943, 3 nights before Christmas. We had been in village evangelism for 1 month with the students living in tents in the villages. And that night, as we sat there for our final meeting, the next day we were going back to Allahabad to the seminary. And there was a man sitting there on his knees almost in front of me, bare-chested in the hot climate. And I read the story of the birth of Jesus from Matthew, from the Hindi Bible, which is kind of a large Bible because the type is complicated and it takes more space for a legible work.
So it's probably about twice the size of a normal Bible today. It's
yes.
Pretty big print. Okay.
So when I stopped speaking, paused just a moment, an Indian was sitting there on the ground in front of me, bare-chested, and he said, "How long have you had that big book in your hand?" I was holding my Bible, Hindi Bible. I said, "Well, what year is this?" I said, "When you go to the police station or get mail, what is the number they put on the mail?" And they talked among themselves back and forth, and they told me, I said, "It's approximately that many years since that great day." He said, "Nearly 2,000 years." And he suddenly pointed his finger at me. He said, "Who's been hiding that book all this time?" I said, "Well, no, I don't think anybody has been deliberately hiding it." I said, "Well, you see, this is a large world, and we've been going from place to place, and tonight we've come to your village to tell you." And so he quieted down, and I went ahead and completed the story of the birth of Jesus. After the villagers all went to their homes, I went inside a little pup tent I was staying in there, and lying on the ground on the mattress, and I couldn't go to sleep.
Which brought back that memory of you as a teenager in that church and seeing that vision of the people saying, "If you had been more faithful," those two go hand in hand. So what did God lead you to do?
I just saw that man with his hand pointing at me, "Who's been hiding that book all this time?" And finally, 1 o'clock came, 2 o'clock. I couldn't go to sleep. I got up and I wrote a poem, "Are You Hiding the Word of God? You have the words which the Savior gave. You have the book that millions crave. You have the truth which alone can save. Are you hiding the Word of God? Millions are groping in sin's dark night, searching the pathway to truth and right. You in your hands have the only light. Are you hiding the light of God? Billions engaged in a deadly strife, foes of the soul and of God are rife. Millions are losing their fight in life. Are you hiding the sword of God? The need still exists, though seasons roll. Millions are fainting, far short their goal. Millions tonight have a hungry soul. Are you hiding the bread of God? Millions haste on to a Christless tomb, treading the pathway of sin and gloom. You, if you will, can avert their doom. Will you give them the word of God?" That was December 22, 1943.
And Dr. Dole, how exciting to know that God used you to give a wonderful Christmas present to the people of India that year by sharing the story of Jesus Christ.
Yes, we had that privilege over and over at Christmas time and at other times during the year.
So Dr. Dole, it sounds like meeting that person in India was one of those life-changing events. And for those just joining us, you're listening to One Mission Stories. Our special guest today is Dr. Wesley Dole, who's a missionary with One Mission Society and has more incredible stories to tell when we return.
You're listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. For more information on how you can make a difference through giving, go to onemissionsociety.org/radio. We'll be right back.
Ready? And go.
Okay. It's a thing. It goes round and round.
A tire.
No.
A wheel. A top.
Keep going.
A merry-go-round.
Kind of like that. A different thing, though. I can't say it. You know, it's like in Kansas. It goes from the clouds to the ground.
A twister.
Close, yeah.
A tornado.
Another word. Yeah, like that.
I need help here.
Okay. I think it was like an old car.
Oh, a cyclone.
Yes, that's it.
Wow, that was fast. Okay, we need two to win the game.
We can do it.
Ready? Go.
Okay, it's the place the OMS missionary told us about on Sunday.
The world.
No.
Heaven.
No, a specific place that needs help now.
I don't know.
Hit by a natural disaster, destroyed homes and crops.
Cyclone.
No, the place that had the cyclone.
Oh, Coney Island.
No, the place near India that gets flooded every year.
Oh, the Nile River?
No, no, no. Remember, the OMS missionary told us about the place that needs help with food and clothing and...
Time's up.
What was it?
South Asia, remember?
It's
oh, yeah,
not a
I guess
game.
I forgot.
It's reality for the people of South Asia. To see how you can help, visit OneMissionSociety.org. You're listening to One Mission Stories. My name is Jason Campbell. Today we have a special guest who has been with One Mission Society before it was known as One Mission Society. Back then we were known as the Oriental Missionary Society and then later OMS International. Today our special guest is Dr. Wesley Duell, who is 97 years old and still going strong. Dr. Duell, before the break, you were telling us about a life-changing moment in India where you met a person who said, "How long have you been hiding God's word?" And then you shared with us this beautiful poem. Would it be okay if we put that on our blog so that people would be able to see that? Would that be all right? That way people could see that and share it and reread it so they can be challenged. So my understanding is... terms back in those days when someone would go overseas was longer than the 4 years that we have typically today. How many years approximately was your first term in India?
I think probably 7 or 8 years.
7 or 8 years.
Yes.
So you and your wife, Betty,
yes,
were over there. Were there other missionaries there at the time?
Yes. OMS started work in three different sections of India within a few years of our getting there. We had to study the language and get that first.
Mm-hmm.
So we founded seminaries in three sections of India.
Okay.
Today, there are many more we have now in 11 or 12 parts of India, different language areas.
Now, my understanding after having heard your story previously was that growth was really slow in India in those days.
Yes. India was a difficult field. Hinduism, Islam, to this day, are resistant to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God helped us, and we did much prayer. And to the glory of God, God has given us work across India today. Praise His name.
Now, in the 25 years that you were there, I have a statistic here that says there were only 25 churches in India. Does that sound correct?
Yes.
Wow. And also something our listeners may not realize was that you were serving in India during World War II.
Yes, that's correct.
And so not only were you dealing with difficult situations of helping people to understand the importance of the gospel, but there was a world war going on around at the same time. So... what other kinds of things did you do during that time in India? What were some of your responsibilities as a missionary?
First, of course, we had to learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
We learned two languages.
Two languages.
Hindi, the national language of India, and Urdu, the language of the Muslims in India. And I became quite accustomed to that. On Sunday mornings, by the time I left India, I would preach in three languages on Sunday afternoons at our service.
Now, I've seen a picture or a photograph of you from, I would say, probably from the 1940s, a black and white photo. It was even in our OMS Outreach magazine a couple years back. That was you with, I think, backpacks and all kinds of things that you were carrying on a bicycle. Was that one of your main modes of transportation?
Yes, at first I went several thousand miles by bicycle, not at one time,
but
again and again, because we had no automobile for the first large number of years until it was after the war was over, and we were able to get something like that in India. We finally got a car, but the bicycle was very consistently used. And at the last part of the time, I was able to get a motorcycle. And that way I could put my wife on behind me, or I could put one of our Indian preachers on behind me, and we could go out to quite a distance away. And because I was leader of the work on the field, I would go from one section to another section if it was only comparatively within, the first 100 miles or so. If it was farther than that, I'd have to go by train.
Okay. It's interesting to note that our Indian pastors are still requesting bicycles to this day. I know we have a mission project for bicycles for Indian pastors, and if you'd like more information about that, you can check our website, onemissionsociety.org/radio, or email us radio@onemissionsociety.org, and we'd be happy to tell you more about that. Now, Dr. Duell, when a lot of people hear your name, they think of two things. They think of India, as you served there for around 25 years. But they also think of prayer because of the books that you have written. One of the books that you're most known for is Touch the World Through Prayer, which was published in 1986. It's been printed more than 31 different times, and it's in over 58 languages, is my understanding, or around 58 languages. So how did prayer become such a part of your life? That has something to do with India, is my understanding.
Well, my mother was a real prayer warrior. And she prayed and wept in prayer as she prayed for China. She had a great burden for China. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus, prayer was a spiritual, natural thing for me. So I became a real prayer warrior. I prepared lists of prayer requests. Before we went to India, I had about 7 requests that I prayed for every day. Our spiritual victories are won through prayer. This is why we plead for the prayer of God's people to support us and strengthen us and help us. And God has done many things in answer to prayer. Praise the Lord over the years.
We have a list here of the 6 prayer requests that you, 6 or 7 prayer requests, of what you had prayed for before God sent you to India. Can you share those with us, please?
Yes. I prayed, Lord, send some society to India with the same doctrine and the same methods that OMS has. Lord, put the burden for India on some leader in that society. Third, call others in that society so that there will be co-workers when they get to India. Then prepare India, young people, when that society gets to India, that they will be free to assist them until they get the language, and then cause someone to send a large gift to that society that can be used for India, and then cause many people to pray for that society.
So those were the prayer requests that,
yes,
that God laid upon your heart to pray for,
yes,
India. And my understanding is, now we know that God always answers our prayers. The way I teach kids is it's yes, no, and maybe, or wait, like this,
yes,
traffic light. So some of those requests we know just from your stories you've shared with us today of how God answered. God sent OMS, or One Mission Society, to India. God sent you and your wife and other missionaries to India. But what about some of these other things here? Specifically, I'm thinking about calling a group of people to pray for that society and to pray for India. How did God answer that prayer request?
Well, when I was home on furlough, I spoke in various places, and I asked people to make a commitment to pray each day for the work in India. And there were a number of thousands of people who committed to pray daily for India. And I praise God that God answers prayer.
Were there specifics for this prayer that you were asking? Was there like a time limit that you were asking people to pray for a certain time?
For 1 year, at a minimum of 1 year, they would pray for India and for the souls to be saved there.
And you asked them to pray for 15 minutes, is that correct?
Yes.
15 minutes a day for 1 year to pray for the souls of India.
Yes.
And so you had, my statistic here says, more than 1,500 people all over the USA, but I'm assuming it's around the world too, not just the USA.
Well, OMS has support in the British Isles, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa especially. And when I was home on furlough, I went to all these places and was able to enlist hundreds of people who made that commitment to pray 15 minutes daily for India.
So we're going to talk when we come back about how God answered that prayer, because what God is doing in India today is amazing. And not only that, we're going to talk more about some of the things that God has done with your life when we continue our conversation with Dr. Wesley Duell when One Mission Stories continues.
You're listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. For more OMS stories, check out OMS Outreach, One Mission Society's triennial magazine, available to download at onemissionsociety.org/radio. We'll be right back.
And Father, bless the OMS missionaries around the world. Amen.
Amen. Wendy, we've been prayer partners for almost a year now, right?
Every week at this park, my spiritual life is really growing.
Mine too. Why do you always ask God to bless the missionaries?
Well, missionaries need God's blessing too, Sandy.
I agree. When I pray for you, I pray for your marriage, your job, your kids.
And I do the same for you. What are you saying?
Maybe we should pray more specifically for our missionaries, too.
Such as?
Their family, their ministry, their health, and...
And?
I downloaded the OMS Weekly Prayer Sheet off the OMS website.
Wow. I never imagined missionaries had this many prayer needs.
I guess we better get started.
You can help complete the One Mission through your prayers. For more information, visit onemissionsociety.org. You're listening to One Mission Stories. I'm Jason Campbell. Today, our special guest is a veteran for One Mission Society, Dr. Wesley Duell. You might recognize his name from books such as Touched a World Through Prayer, Revival Fire, God's Powers for You, More God, More Power, and 10 books in total, 9 of them published by Zondervan, all of them available through One Mission Society's Amazon website. You can find more information by checking our After the Show blog.
We know of more than 2 million copies of my books have been published around the world.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is great. Now, Dr. Duell, before we ended our last break, we were talking about the importance of prayer and how that you mentioned that prayer is what has helped change India. Back when you were there, there were 25 churches approximately during the time you were there. Do you have any statistics of what's happening in India now?
Yes. God has been very gracious, and we praise the Lord for close to 5,000 churches across India.
Wow.
And their goal for 2020 is 10,000 churches and 2 million members.
So they want to double their churches just in the next 7 years. That's amazing. And you know what? With God's help, that totally can happen.
It's because God is answering prayer.
The prayers that you mentioned of the 1,500 people around the world praying,
yes,
15 minutes a day for 1 year.
Yes.
I have to believe in my heart, though, that after praying for that 1 year, those people didn't stop. You didn't stop.
No.
God continued to press upon your heart for India. And today, I'm sure you even pray for India today.
Yes. The burden for India continues. I pray for India daily. But I praise God that now we have more than 500,000 people attending our services on Sundays. Praise
Wow.
the Lord for that.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Duell, after you came back from India, God continued prayer, but he did it through the writing of books. As I mentioned at the beginning of this segment, you've written 10 different books, and they've been published all around the world in 58 different languages. What kind of response do you get from these books which you have published?
Well, most of them don't write, but once in a while we get a letter which is very encouraging. We had a letter recently from a missionary who got a copy of my book in a bookstore in Jerusalem and told how she was burdened and thrilled by the book and so on. So you cannot depend, but often, almost every night when I pray about my work, I pray that God would help people to remember what they had read in my books or to go back and pick up the book from their shelf again and read excerpts from it, because I know people are forgetful, but I want the message to remain in the hearts of the people. Prayer is absolutely essential for the work of God.
whether that's overseas or here in our own country.
Yes.
Our churches need to be praying more, don't they?
Amen.
So, Dr. Duell, the most famous book is Touch the World Through Prayer. And that's what God has put upon your heart to do, to pray for the world, but specifically to pray for India. But through these books, God's helped you to touch the world through books all around the world, because America is not the only place where these have been published. Where are some of the other places where your books are available today?
Well, in the British Isles, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa.
Wow, that is really amazing.
You never know where God will take a book, so it's in God's hands.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Duell, with these books, are you're getting requests from other countries that want your books published into their languages?
Well, we publish a number of them in China. My mother had a great burden, prayer burden for China. I could not remember a day in family prayer, but as she prayed for China, she would break down and begin to cry because she had such a burden. And so in honoring that, I have been happy to publish books in China. And it's amazing, but even the state publishing house has published my books in China.
Really?
And I don't know how many totally, but I'm sure that God has honored and worked.
Are you hearing from other continents like Africa? Are people asking for free books? Is that something you get quite regularly?
Nationals in a number of the countries, they don't think about sending to America for a book necessarily. But from time to time, we do get those requests.
You're listening to One Mission Stories. I'm Jason Campbell. And for those of you just joining us, our special guest today is Dr. Wesley Duell. Now, Dr. Duell, not only have you written books, but you've been doing seminars on prayer and something that people don't like to talk about so much anymore, something known as spiritual warfare. And for those who have been involved in the ministry, whether in the pastorate or in missions, we know how real it is that we have an enemy that wants to stop everything that God has put upon our hearts to do. I'm sure you've encountered this as well, maybe even in India.
Yes, the missionary or the pastors in the country, they need prayer for protection. I remember going down the street in Calcutta to the American Express Company to find when a missionary ship would arrive in the harbor. At that time, the nation of India was wanting independence from Britain, and people seeing me didn't know whether I was American or British or what. I was just looked like a foreigner. I remember one day a group of young men, teenagers or a little better, and surround me with bamboo sticks in their hand and swat at me, striking at me again and again. And not one stick came, I would say, within 8 inches of me. They struck, but God did not let it touch my body. And I just kept walking and trusting the Lord. Praise the Lord. Satan opposes the work in any way he can, and that's one way he tries.
And you didn't allow that to get to you. In fact, I'm sure that made you want to work even harder to make a difference.
Yes, but demonic opposition can take various forms. On a Sunday afternoon, our then leader, Dr. Eugene Ernie, preached on Be Filled with the Spirit. And at the close of his message, some went to the altar to pray. Mm-hmm. But suddenly one young man, I guess about 25 or 30 years of age, stood up and struck at me. And
so he tried to hit you?
He tried to hit me, and somehow God held him back, and he jumped, but he didn't get any nearer to me. He did not come, I would say, closer than 8 inches from me. It just seemed like something was holding him back. God was just so graciously protecting me.
And Dr. Duell, you were telling us a story about spiritual warfare, attacks of the enemy in India. Is that the only place where you encountered spiritual warfare? Is it just in India?
Oh, no, of course not. It's been my privilege to speak about 50 countries around the world, and I have experienced it some in other places, but especially in Australia and South Africa. Satan does not want God's work to go forward. And I've experienced his trying to stop me from getting to where I was going. We were in Sydney, Australia, going to the home of a Christian leader who told us he was inviting us to his home. We thought we were going for just a pleasant, perhaps, tea, and we got there, and here were 25 or 30 leaders of the Bible Society, the different denominations and missionary societies, and they were all there waiting, and it was a very important gathering. And I was asked to tell the story of India, Satan's opposition, and God's answer. It had question after question, a tremendously important and precious time. But just before we got there, in less than a quarter of a mile, we were coming across the road, we're at the corner, and suddenly we heard the roar of a car coming toward us, and it struck the car right where I was sitting in the back seat, on the right by the side. It didn't strike on the other side of the car or any place else. Bang! We all heard the metal strike when it crashed, and it did only minor damage to the car. And there were four of us in the car, three other Christian leaders from Australia. None of us saw the car come. None of us saw it leave. They heard it. They heard the sound, and they heard the sound as it pulled away from us, but no one saw anything. None of us in the car saw the car coming, nor did we see the car as it pulled away. They said, "Where'd that come from?" And we knew it was Satan. We heard it all, but we didn't see it.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Are you trying to tell me that this was an invisible car? There wasn't an actual car there?
We did not see an actual car. An invisible car did visible damage.
Wow. So the car was still drivable. It was damaged, but it wasn't damaged so that it couldn't be driven.
Only slightly damaged. The car was not seriously damaged. God protected.
Dr. Dula, it's just amazing the way that God protects us. Our listeners know a little bit more about my life. They've heard how God protected me from an angry mob when I lived in the country of Haiti. And the way that God protects his people is encouraging and comforting, especially when we go through those dark times when we begin to wonder, God, what are you doing? Dr. Dula, my understanding is you're writing a new book right now where people can read more about, your many adventures.
I'm working sort of slowly, but working away at my autobiography to tell the story of God's faithfulness, and that'll include Satan's opposition and what God has done.
So have you come up with a title for the book yet, or are you still thinking that one through?
No, I haven't. That'll probably be the last thing I do.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Dula, for joining us for this very special edition of One Mission Stories. And Dr. Dula, it's our custom at the end of our program to pray with our guests. And so as you've been talking today, there's a few things that have come to mind. First, I'd like us to pray for the continuing work in India, that God will help them to meet their goals. Well, no, that God will help them to exceed their goals of churches and people coming to Christ. Second, that God will help you with your autobiography. And the third thing is that God will help with book distribution, and that when people read your books, that they will be touched. So let's take the time right now and pray and ask God for those three things. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to hear more about how you've been working through the life of Dr. Wesley Dula. And I pray for these three things that we've mentioned, that you would continue to do a work in India. The work that has started, we know you're not finished. I pray that you would help them to meet their goal of more than 10,000 churches within the next 7 years, and that more people would come to know you personally. And Father, I want to pray for Dr. Dula as he continues to work on his autobiography, that you would help him as he goes through all of his notes and letters and stories, that the things can come together, and it would be a blessing to people not only here in our country but around the world. And third, we want to pray for his books, which continue to go out all around the world, that have been translated in many languages. I pray, Father, that as people read them in whatever language, that you would speak to their hearts and that you would show them what it is that you want them to know. Father, we thank you again for the life that you've given Dr. Dula and your faithfulness to him through these years. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Dole, for sharing your life story with us on today's One Mission Stories. I hope it's been an encouragement and a blessing to our listeners. Today, as we've been discussing Dr. Dole's many adventures in India, another famous missionary comes to my mind, Dr. William Carey, pioneer missionary to India. One of his famous quotations is, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." The story is told of when Dr. Carey first heard about the spiritual needs of India. The secretary at the meeting remarked, "There is a gold mine in India, but it seems almost as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" Dr. Carey spoke up, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you must hold the ropes." As we've heard from Dr. Dole, one of the most important ropes for a missionary is prayer. One Mission Society has many prayer needs, and if you'd like to partner with us through your prayers, visit our website, onemissionsociety.org/radio. While there, make sure you also check out our After the Show blog for more information about what we discussed on today's program, including a photograph of Dr. Dole from the 1940s, and also the poem which he wrote and shared with us on today's program. On our site, you can also listen to our radio show podcast anytime, day or night. If you'd like to contact us and tell us how much you enjoy the program, send an email to radio@onemissionsociety.org. Thanks again for joining me on today's One Mission Stories with our special guest, veteran missionary to India, Dr. Wesley Dole. And I'm Jason Campbell, reminding you that everyone has a story. Make sure you take the time to share yours.
You've been listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. One Mission Stories is produced in Greenwood, Indiana, at the studios of One Mission Society. Your production engineer was Ben Tabor. Your host was Jason Campbell. And I'm your announcer, Randy Spade. I invite you to join us next time for more One Mission Stories.